first session, we spoke about this whole aspect of commissioning and being commissioned, the fact that we should discern in the way God has sent us and discern the people, discern where we're going, and the whole place of importation. The fact that we must respect the principles and of consecration and importation. And it is so exciting when we come back and we begin to see the difference, you know, that we consecrate our homes, we consecrate the places we go to, the people that we know. And so it is so exciting when we start to live in that way, because now the Holy Spirit begins to feel welcome in our everyday life, not just when we go to church, not just when we have small group, but in your work area. That's where God wants to move, and that's where he wants to change lives. So one thing that obviously changes us all the time is an urgency. And the thing that challenges us all the time is a prophetic urgency. You know, we in the times that we're living, we need to have a lot of discernment, because deception and offense and false prophets and teachers, all these things that arise, they're on, at the order of the day, because some of the stuff seems so clear and pure, and when you look at it, then you think like, wow, this must be God. And we're going to talk a bit in this session about this whole place of discernment more, and especially this prophetic urgency that God has given us. But it must start with an accuracy. You know, God wants us not to be just going through life saying, oh Lord, what is your will for my life? What is your voice? How do I know what you want to do? In 1 John 2, verse 20 to 27, but specifically in verse 27, it says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Beautiful scripture, but it actually says that there's, in verse 20 on, it says that there's actually a false spirit, and there's a spirit that looks just like the Holy Spirit. And we need to be accurate and be able to understand, because if you're going to just watch television, it's going to look like the same thing. It's actually going to feel like the same thing. But the outcome and the fruit long term, and sometimes even medium term, is not going to be the same. Because that false spirit is almost like a seducing spirit. It feels very good. It feels nice. But it appeals a lot to the flesh. It appeals a lot to the self. And unfortunately, especially in the charismatic church these days, we have so much show business. We have almost like Christianity has become a job. It's become a show. It's become a we've become professional Christians in a big way. And our challenge is how do we discern the moving of the Holy Spirit that is not around emotions and feelings, but it's actually the truth. And this is why it's so important to know the scripture, because it says the anointing that has been given to you, that is on your life, it comes from God. You received it because it abides in you, and you actually don't need to run around. You don't need, it doesn't mean that we don't need teachers. It says you don't need to be taught all the time around this stuff, because you just need to learn the real thing, what God has given you. And it says it teaches you concerning all things, not just spiritual things, but all things. And is true, and is not a lie, because you abide in him, and it abides in you. And that's the place God wants for us to live, is the place of abiding. So the focus to start with is not to look or to overreact to the negative, but actually to abide in God. That's why it says, you know, when there's a branch on a tree, you can't cut off the branch and then tomorrow just put it together with sticky tape again. You know, the branch to be able to bear fruit must be in the tree. It must be able to be there constantly. So there's a thing of constant that's abiding. It's constantly in that place. It's not a event orientation. And this is so important when it comes to anointing and the things of the Holy Spirit on our lives. What we do, especially in the charismatic church, we connect the anointing to an event. And then we're going to be in trouble. Because now the Holy Spirit can only flow that when I get to shake, or when I get to prophesy, or when there's like people swinging from the chandeliers, or there's an event. But it's like a switch for electricity. You cannot switch God on or off. You know, sometimes in your life, you're going to experience the manifest presence of God, and you're going to get goosebumps, and maybe people are going to fall over. I'm not saying that's negative at all. But when that becomes the focus, that now I need something to be switched on, because now suddenly God has pitched, you know, suddenly God be with me, suddenly Holy Spirit fall down on me. then you're going to get into trouble, because it's not about the principle of abiding. And what the Holy Spirit mainly does, remember, is He leads us into truth. He teaches us concerning the things Jesus has said and what He has done. The Holy Spirit does not teach us primarily around manifestations or miracles. That's not where He teaches us. It's in the relationship with Christ. So at the center of a true relationship and a walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit is a connecting to Christ. He points to Jesus. He doesn't point to Himself. He doesn't point to miracles. He doesn't point to events or manifestations. Now, those things that will happen, there will be miracles, and that's great. It's awesome when we experience God, when we lie on our faces, but that's not what we pursue. We pursue Jesus. We pursue truth, which is a person, Jesus Christ. That's what John 8, verse 31 and 32 says. It says, "Hey, those who abide in My word shall know the truth, and the truth shall make them free." Not the experience. Because Jesus Himself said, you know, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and they said, "Show us a sign, show us a miracle." And they said, "You will receive no sign except for the sign of the son of the prophet of Jonah." What was that? His death and His resurrection. He says, that's the sign that you need. You don't need an extra sign. I'm not going to be crucified again. I'm not going to, you know. Those things are supposed to follow you as you follow Christ. So it is so important. To be accurate, Jesus must be in the center. To be accurate, we need to abide in Him. Otherwise, we become a seducing group of people that manipulate and we control and we limit the Holy Spirit to that freedom. Because most of the times, do you know what? The Holy Spirit feels most comfortable when you are out of your comfort zone. You know, when the Holy Spirit did not fall in Nazareth or in Galilee, where the disciples could have controlled the Holy Spirit and they said, "Well, this is fine, so let's interpret what we're having and then we're going to take it to the world." Jesus says, "Go to Jerusalem." So where does it happen? Behind a locked door where they're afraid for their lives. That's where the Holy Spirit comes. Comes at the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of the Harvest. The laborers, yeah, raising up laborers. That's His main focus. So we sometimes, especially in the modern day move of people pursuing the supernatural, our focus is just a bit wrong. And when our focus is a bit wrong, then we can get deceived, because then suddenly something can come in which is not the Holy Spirit. Now, we shouldn't be afraid, you know, and say, "Oh, I'm so afraid I'm going to miss God's will. I'm afraid that the Holy Spirit, you know, don't have the Holy Spirit." It's just very simply that you focus on the right stuff. And when you remain focused on the truth, remain focused on abiding in God, then the truth will set you free. Because we are going to make mistakes, and sometimes you are going to get very excited about certain stuff, and you're going to go a little bit on a detour. But you know, when the focus is right, then you know what? God will lead you, because He's not expecting perfect people. He's not expecting you to know everything and to walk in fullness and now to prophesy to the president and then the whole nation is going to change. No, you start small. Start in your small group. Start where you are. But it's so important that there's the satisfaction of the flesh is denied. The comfort of yourself, because the gifts are not there for us. The gifts are there to minister to other people. And as long as that focus is right, then God will start to move. Because there's so many stuff that's happening in the church today, and it's difficult, you know, when sometimes you even walk into the Christian bookshop, you know, find a scripture and win another Bible, you know. But it is so difficult to discern when you walk in there, because there's some stuff that is just not from God. Some stuff, it feels so good. And that's why Timothy and Titus writes later, and he says, you know, but people will heap up for them, and they'll be treasures and doctrines, and they will become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And there'll be doctrines even of itching that will bring itching ears. And there'll be seducing doctrines in the church. And that's why just one of those rules that I always focus on is, say, if there's somebody that just focuses on one doctrine, say this guy, all he preaches is grace, then there's going to be trouble. Because you have to bring that doctrine into the full counsel of God. Because yes, we can talk about victory and overcoming, but we must also talk about suffering as Christians. We should not just talk about suffering and persecution and not talk about the love of God and the place where God wants us to overcome. Because, you know, and so when we have that counsel, that balance, then there's a freedom for God to move. And then sometimes things will happen that are weird or that we don't understand, that we can't fit into our box, you know, because some people may fall over and some people may get delivered. I remember one day praying for a lady. It was at a Foundation 4, which is a deliverance course. And this lady was standing there and she was just, nothing happened. She just stood there, you know. And I still remember going to a heat facilitator that first break. And I said to the guy, to the lady, I said to her, this lady that you're busy facilitating, there's really nothing happening there. I must tell you, there's absolutely nothing, you know. And so that whole weekend I was checking out this lady because she just stood there. And at the last session, which was probably about an hour and a half, this lady just disappeared. Went to the facilitator. I said, where is this lady? She says, no, I don't know. She probably ran away. You know, and right at the end, this lady came back, the one that stood still, and she just stood there with a smile. So I said, let's leave her. And I still said to a facilitator, because I judged by the natural, I said, this lady must surely come back because nothing happened in her life. And I remember that Sunday night, this lady came to me and she said to me, you know, the most amazing things happened over the weekend. Because as I was standing there, I went into an open vision and Jesus came and he took me to all the houses where we grew up and where I grew up as a little girl, where I was abused physically, verbally. And Jesus went in there and he opened the doors and he spoke life over each one of those situations and I was healed. And right at the end, I was set free in such a way and Jesus said to me, go outside of the building where you're standing right now and go and run around. Because of all the abuse, she had so many physical pains and sicknesses and infirmities that she couldn't even walk properly. And Jesus healed her on the spot, even physically. And then she, for an hour, ran circles around the building that we were doing the F4 in, you know. And she was completely healed physically and emotionally. God set her free, like, amazingly. But when you looked at the outside, there was just no response, yeah. And that day I realized, hey, it's not about emotions. It's not about what you see, but it's what God does in our hearts. It's what happens in your spiritual realm and in your life. So we should never put limitations on God. So on the one side, somebody can fall over, but on the other side, somebody can just stand there and have a greater experience and their lives can change more than the person falling over. Because the person falling over may think, well, it's the falling over or it's the shaking that changes my life, but it's not. It's what happens in your heart. It's that revelation knowledge that you walk in. And this is why John writes this and he says, hey, be careful, abide, 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 because the Holy Spirit wants to bring that freedom in your life. So the next question is, how do we discern the false from the true? And there's a couple of things. We did some of this stuff in first year and second year. But we need to obviously test the spirits. We did it in first year specifically. It says it's our responsibility to test the spirits. That's why it says don't just let people lay hands on you quickly and don't you just lay hands on people quickly. There's some stuff that we need to go and look at in people's lives. We need to look at the people sharing or, you know, bringing the word. What type of doctrine do they follow? What, you know, what authority structures are they in? You know, there's so many ministries these days, and many of them are parachurch ministries. They're outside of the local church, and they focus on one specific thing, and there are great ministries out there, but we need to be very careful. So my golden rule is always, are you in a local church? Because if you and I are in a local church, it means we're part of a community that can grow together. And there's people that you are in relationship with, because relationship keeps us on track. People that know you, people that can see, hey, you're going off track here. You're focusing on the wrong stuff because they know you. You know, you cannot just run to events where there's a prophet coming through town and this guy gets a word of knowledge for you. Because just like in the school of the prophets with Samuel and many of these people, scripture says that some people even started to prophesy according to the idolatry in other people's hearts. Because they didn't listen to God anymore. They were handed over to deception. And because of that idolatry, some people walked into their lives and spoke the truth, which was a lie, over their lives because of the deception. Their hearts have been hardened. So we need to be in relationships and accountability relationships with each other. That is a no, non-negotiable when it comes to walking in the fullness of God and pursuing this call of God in our lives. So when somebody comes to prophesy, or there's a prophet in town, you know, we just in Stellenbosch had a guy who ministered to businessmen and to marriages and into families. But you know what? For 3 years, his wife was living in Malawi or Zambia, somewhere up in Africa. So he didn't see his wife, but he was now ministering to families and to business people. And these business people started to sponsor him. He started to fly around and did all these courses, lots of finances, all of that stuff. But you know what happened after 3 years? He started to sleep with his business men's wives. But you know, and then the first thing is some people said, no, but you can't really speak out against it, because do you know what? You cannot touch God's anointed. And you think like, where do you get that from? You know, scripture is scripture. So the fact that the guy is very anointed does not mean that his life is in order and that you must listen to him. Because you can even operate in the gifts and be far away from God. Don't know Jesus anymore. Why? Because it's like the sin of Simon. He has bought the gifts, so he's making money out of the gifts. You know, that happens so many times. And especially in some of the big, you know, television ministries and stuff. And I'm not trying to knock people. It's just very important that we must have discernment. So we must look at the ministry. We must look at the word that the person brings. So just the other day, a guy came to Cape Town and he prophesied that by the 21st of June, everybody's going to be debt free. Everybody in the church. So I was thinking like, maybe I must go there the 20th and just, you know, join the church just for a day. But on the 20th, I'm going to take out a loan or just make some debt of $1 million. Because, hey, the prophet has spoken. But you know what? This guy is a false prophet because he's dishonoring scripture. He's not honoring the principle of stewardship. He's not honoring the principle of, hey, you must take ownership for your own life and for where you're at, because God, even deliverance is a process. God does not do magic. Because how did you get into debt? How did you get to that place? And so if God just waves the magic wand, releases you from all that debt, do you know what? You're going to be worse off tomorrow and 3 months down the line, because you've not learned the place of taking stewardship. And so, you know, there's so many stuff like that going on, because that guy really should, somebody should write to him on the 21st and say, hey, I want to call you to account for that prophecy you gave, because you actually deceived the sheep by saying something like that. But you know, now that guy gets away. You know, sometimes I think we must go back to the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, if you were a prophet and your prophecy didn't come true, they would stone you, they would kill you, you know. Because I'm just thinking there's so many people getting away with stuff that is not the truth and it's unbiblical. But see, the challenge is, because people are biblically illiterate today, they don't read the Bible anymore and we don't know the principles, any second guy can come up and speak big words and be a charismatic type of person, and then they will deceive you, because you must be able to measure what that guy says to scripture. You know, there's a difference between being critical and negative about everything, because some people just say, hey, because somebody tried to push me over one day, I'm not going to let anybody pray for me anymore. Now, then you're denying scripture as well, because you must allow people to pray for you. And sometimes things are going to happen in your life that you're not going to understand. There are many things in scripture that is really supernatural, miracles, signs and wonders. That's what signs and wonders do. It makes you wonder, you know, what just happened here, you know. But coming back to that Cape Town story, who's the leadership and who's this guy? Who's he accountable towards in his ministry, in his relationships? In, you know, what's the fruit of his life? What's the fruit of his finances? You can always go and check out the finances stuff. That's a good place to just go and ask questions. But we need to test the spirits, and we need to make sure that when people minister, we cannot just allow every second guy to come up and say, hey, I'm a big prophet. Because these days, obviously, it's not prophets and just apostles anymore. It's now king. And it's all these big titles, and it's all the big guys with their fancy suits. And I understand and respect and honor the position people are in. But Jesus said, hey, if you want to be a leader, you must be a servant. Are we willing to serve? Are you willing to carry chairs? Are you willing to be the least? And this is so important when we walk into this place of accuracy and a prophetic urgency in our lives, and knowing that the Holy Spirit wants to move and we have a desire and a hunger for Him, then we need to be obedient to Scripture. Yeah, we need to be obedient to the things God has called us to come to. We cannot just continue in say, oh, same old, same old. And when he talks about obedience, it's so important. You know, we always in the Bible, we focus, and in church, especially concerning the Bible, we focus on the negative sins. So we say, oh, you know, if there's no pornography in my life and if there's no stealing in my life, then that's actually fine. But the things that keep the Holy Spirit out of our lives is the sins of the Spirit. We mainly focus on the sins of the flesh and the sins of the emotions, you know, self-pity and all that stuff and fear and all those things. But the Bible also talks about, you know, presumption, moving in presumption. What is presumption? Is the fact that I assume that God is going to move every time. Or I walk into the place where I begin to play the role of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. You know, just the other day I was sitting and there was this one meeting that I had with this student, and I was talking to him about the principles, and I said to him, look here, you can't go to that place because you are going alone. You don't know the people that you're going to and all this stuff. And I really laid it out for him, the biblical principles. I said, but now you do is you go back and you go and pray, because now that you understand the principles, measure it up and you go and pray, what does God say to you? Because we must be open that God says, still go. And so eventually a week later, this guy comes to me and now he gets this revelation from another place. And as we're sitting there, my first reaction is just to say to him, no. But the Holy Spirit said to me, you can't do this, because he's not going to listen to you in any case. And I thought, like, shouldn't I warn him? Shouldn't I, you know? And I just realized, but I must be faithful to God. And I now need to step in like a fatherly role and start to just pray for this guy. So all I'm praying in the last week is just say, God, please close the doors. Let him not go. But God, I want him to learn, because he must learn through this process. Because if I just begin to tell him all the time what he must do and what he should not do, do you know what? Firstly, he's going to rely on me. He's not going to rely on the Holy Spirit. And then he's going to make that same mistake over and over again. And so God many times allows us to make mistakes, not to punish us, but to discipline us. And so just moving in presumption, just assuming that the Holy Spirit is going to be there, never do that. Never walk onto a stage and you're going to preach without praying before the time. That's presumption. You just assume God is going to do it. Why? Because he was there 3 months ago. No. That is a sin. That is a sin to think that you have arrived. A sin to think like, hey, I'm better. I don't need to pray. I don't need to do the basics of the gospel. I don't need to. And that's what many, many, unfortunately, preachers do. And that's where they get deceived, because they start to just assume because they can prophesy now, suddenly I am going to push the prophecy, you know. But it's not as you will. It's as the Spirit wills. That's when we prophesy. You know, there's a guy, Dave Wilkerson, really a guy that I admire. And they say there was a story where he came to this one place. They invited him. He flew over from America into another continent, and he was sitting on the stage, and these people were going on, and then he just stood up. Now it's his time to preach. He stands up, he walks to the front, and he says to the people there, the Holy Spirit has departed. The Holy Spirit is not with you anymore. Stood, walked back, took his suitcase, walked off the stage, got onto the plane back. You know, how's that for a sermon, yeah? That's not a modern day, feel good because I want people to invite me back. But true men of God and true women of God do not move in presumption. We move because we are obedient to the Holy Spirit first. And that means that sometimes you're going to need to say stuff to people that you're not going to like and that they're not going to like. But you cannot do it out of the flesh. Obviously, always in love, speak the truth in love. But being obedient to God is so important, because obedience leads us into greater authority. The more we're obedient to the Holy Spirit, the more our authority increases. The more we're disobedient, the less authority we have in the spiritual realm. So the sin of presumption is one of the sins of the Spirit. The sin of vanity, narcissism, it's a self-worship. Me, my gifts, I'm so important, this is so great, hey, you know, I'm here for myself. It's really about me. I'm building my own kingdom. Vanity. You know, my grandmother used to carry a vanity case. Yeah, it's all the stuff, the makeup and all that stuff, where you stand in front of the mirror and you make yourself up. You cover all the stuff that doesn't look so good anymore. You know, and I always love vanity case, because it talks about vanity. It talks about feeding the flesh, the emotions, and the whole idea of I become the center of my relationship with God. Vanity is also a sin of the Spirit. And then pride is the other one. Spiritual pride is a huge one, where we think that we've arrived, or we think that we're better than other people. We think, well, because I've been around, I've at least seen two people raised from the dead. That means I'm better than the usher at the door. Because I'm the preacher, I'm better than that other person. No, all I'm doing is I'm just fulfilling another function. And I need to have respect and honor for the function that I fulfill. And I need to walk in that authority because I've been commissioned by God to do it. So I shouldn't be in self-pity and shouldn't be in denial as to what God has called me to be. But pride is the thing of I've arrived and I'm actually better than others. And that's why it's so important in the church. We've got so much competition and strife and stuff because we think that the secretary working at the front desk, shouldn't be celebrated because it's the pastor that's more important. No, we violate scripture. And the Holy Spirit does not feel welcome in an atmosphere where people are not celebrated for the function that they have and for who they are in Christ. You know, that's why the richest guy should be treated the same as the poor guy on the street. Because the richest guy, according to scripture, is actually the poor guy in your church. Because why? He's got spiritual riches. The rich guy, sometimes we take onto the boards and onto our committees because we think, oh, you know, I need to really take care of this guy. But you know what? Then eventually, because that guy gives a lot of money, you don't treat him in the way God tells you to treat him and discipline him. And he will get deceived and he will take the whole ministry under. Why? Because suddenly you worship his money rather than being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Just part of self-righteousness, you know, and pride and false humility and disobedience. These are the big sins that actually keep the Holy Spirit out, you know. But most of the teachings about the Holy Spirit these days is about, oh, open heavens and let the Holy Spirit fall and my greater experience. But we never talk about the sins of the Holy Spirit, disobedience, presumption, vanity, and pride. And when we get these things right, when we start to become disobedient, like Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do, then there's going to be a freedom of revival that is transgenerational, you know, runs down to the third and the fourth generation. And I'm super excited because God is beginning to do that. But it's not an emotional experience. It's not a place of, you know, I've arrived or I'm better than that. And so the last thing I just want to focus on in this aspect of, you know, what is the true? How do I discern the true anointing of God on my life is humility. Humility, Philippians chapter 2, is a key for me to greatness in the Spirit. We must be clothed with humility. God doesn't humble us, it says, but it says Jesus humbled himself even to the point of death. You know, what an example we have with Jesus. Jesus didn't go around, run around and says, I'm the Messiah, come and worship me. He was tempted to do that by the devil, tempted to get into a place where people would recognize him. When the devil said, hey, change this into bread or jump from the temple. Because then everybody's going to know you're powerful because the angels are there for you. And suddenly you will have your crowd. Why? Because it's instant, quick success. And God is not looking for that. Why? Because he's looking for our character. And that's why the fruit of the Spirit is grown. Fruit is grown. It's not the gifts of the Spirit that are given. Fruits are grown on our lives. And through that process, you know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control, patience. These are the things of the fruit of the Spirit. They must grow with the gifts on our lives. So that is so important that we learn to grow. Never think you've arrived. Never come to that place where you say you're better than other people. We must celebrate the potential in other people. And then we must really sometimes step back and say, God, I want them to do it in a greater way. And I want the people following me, Lord, following you by following me, by imitating, not following me, imitating me. Lord, I want them to become more significant than what I've ever done. If I did it in 10 years, they must do it in 1 year. Because God, there's a law that I can pass on. It's a law of multiplication into lives that come. And I want to challenge us in this coming weeks to pursue the real anointing on our lives. To ask God and say, God, what are the areas that I'm disobedient in? Because God can only take you as far as your last step of obedience. You can only say, let's move on in the things of the Spirit because God wants us to be spiritual giants. Because even the earth, the nature, creation is eagerly awaiting in anticipation for the revelations of the sons and the daughters of God. But that means we must do it the biblical way, not an event emotional experience. That is secondary to the place where we do what we see the Father do. And we say, God, my food is to do your will and to finish your work. John chapter 4, like Jesus said, my food, daily food, is to do your will and to finish what you've called me to do. It's about finishing, people. It's about that place where we not say, I've arrived here, but where you come at the end of your life and you can say, I've done it. I've run the race. I've finished it. What Christ has called me. I've laid a hold of what he's called me to do. Thank you.